Namacharya Siddharita Stakudikajaya. Prem se koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vindigajaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopagopada Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Navadipdam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Tulasidev Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindavanam Kijai Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the symbol of the devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Okay, so Om Gana Timidanda Shaganan Jana Shilakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yenitas Mai Shri Guruve Namaha. So today we're going to have a class, it's a very interesting class, on the Shikshashtaka. Very quick, I'm not going to go into great depth, but I'll go into as much depth as I can. And if while I'm giving the class, I start to go too fast, because some of you are not native English speakers, tell me to slow down, or ask me to slow down. Because I know I have that tendency. I've gotten some emails from people in Croatia, for example, that I go too fast sometimes for them to keep up. Okay? So just tell me. So what we're going to do today is give a class on the Shikshashtaka that will help us understand how to chant better japa based upon a very nice book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is a book on the Shikshashtaka. It's called Asanmodana. It's a book that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on the Shikshashtaka, and a book, incidentally, that Srila Prabhupada quoted from when Prabhupada translated the Shikshashtaka in the last chapter of the Anchalila. Anchalila is part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You all know that? Okay. And the last chapter is called the Shikshashtaka Prayers. And Prabhupada there gives a very interesting translation of the Shikshashtaka Prayers that is different in many respects from the translation that we're accustomed to. You know, the one we recited in the morning? Yeah. So that translation is more precise than the translation that we're accustomed to reciting, because it goes into more depth. The translation that we're accustomed to reciting was given in the early days of the movement when the devotees were not really understanding that much about Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada's translation in the Anchalila goes into great, great spiritual depth, following in the footsteps. It's exactly the same translation as Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave in his book. So, to give a brief synopsis of what we're going to talk about, is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his book, talks about how each of the different verses in the Shikshashtaka, there's 8 verses in the Shikshashtaka, refer to different stages in advancement in devotional service. And he does that also in the Madhurya Kadambini and the Bhajan Mahasya. These are 2 other books by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He talks about how each verse refers to a specific stage, and then how each verse refers to a specific... Wait, let that truck go by. Each verse refers to a specific time of the day in Krishna's Asta Kaliya Leela, and how each verse refers to a specific part of the Maha Mantra. Everybody understands that? So just like the first verse, that's Hare Krishna. Second verse is Hare Krishna. Third verse is Krishna Krishna. Fourth verse is Hare Hare. And so on. You understand? So each of those, so while one's chanting japa, I'm not asking you to do that now, but while you're chanting japa, you can actually meditate on different times of the day of Krishna's pastimes, or you could meditate on different stages in devotional service, or overcoming certain anarthas in devotional service. It's quite interesting. So the first verse of the Shikshashtaka, just to summarize, and I've given elaborate classes and I have charts that I can email you on these things. If you want, you're interested when you get back to the Western world, if you're interested in this, I have actually charts that delineate all the stages of devotional service. So let's go over the eightfold pastimes of the Lord first. Because here we are in Braj, and in Braj they always talk about the eightfold or eight times of the day pastimes of the Lord. So I'm going to describe very, very briefly what happens at each time of the day, because I'm sure you've heard about this before, right? Everyone's heard about this before. The first time of the day is in the early morning. It's from, they have precise times here, 3:36 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now this is in Braj. If you're in a different country, the muhurtas are actually longer or shorter depending upon your latitude and the earth planet. Like if you're all the way in Finland, during the winter, the muhurtas last 1 second. Because you have no sunshine in the winter. And in the summer, the muhurtas last for hours. But generally, muhurta is about an hour and a half, okay? So, 3:36, this is in Braj, which is where we are right now, to 6 a.m., Radha and Krishna are sleeping in the bower, that means in the forest, and what happens is that they have to get back home before the light comes. The reason they have to get back home before the light comes is because their respective parents think that they're at home sleeping in bed. You know, Krishna snuck out his window and Radharani snuck out somehow or other. And if they're not there when their parents go to wake them up, or Radharani's family, husband, you know, everybody's in big trouble. You understand that? So therefore the parrots, they come first. They're like Krishna's alarm clock. Krishna doesn't have an electronic alarm clock. So they go, wake up, wake up. They wake up, wake up. And this is actually, I'm also making reference to another book called the Govinda Lilamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that also delineates the Eightfold Pastimes. A year ago I was here, I gave a class in the Govinda Lilamrita. It's not on the internet because it's too advanced. But I have recordings of that class that I can send privately to devotees who are advanced anyway, if you think you're advanced. Anyway, so what happens is that the parrots wake Radha and Krishna up. Wake up, you know, Mother Yashoda's coming to your room, Krishna. And Radharani, you know, your husband and family, Jatila and Kutila are coming to see you. And so, but they're very reluctant to wake up because that's the separation that Radha and Krishna will experience. You know, they've been together. And so they just like, you know how people wake up in the morning, open your eyes, oh no, I don't want to hear it. And they say, forget it. Snooze like that. So basically, they get up and then they stumbling, wake up, and then they run back to home at that particular point. You know, just to get, you know, Krishna climbs in his window just as Yashodamai is coming in the door. And then she sees Krishna. She sees Krishna with all these, you know, marks all over his body and everything like that. And Yashoda thinks, he didn't take a good bath last night, you know. Or, you know, he's getting too much pricked by the thorns when he goes out the previous day. So Yashoda wakes Krishna up. And Krishna is pretty tired because he's been awake the whole night anyway, almost. So she wakes Krishna up. And Krishna, he washes his face. And he immediately goes out to milk the cows. He has some pastimes with his friends. Actually, no, now we're in the second time. I'm sorry. I got so enthusiastic, I forgot we went to the second fold of the pastimes after they get home is 6 a.m. to 8:24 a.m. Then Krishna, Yashoda wakes Krishna up. Krishna washes his face. He milks the cows, wrestles with his friends early in the morning. And then he takes his massage during his bath. Because he's a king's son, he gets all the amenities, you know. Nanda Maharaj is the king of Vrindavan. Krishna's the king, but Nanda Maharaj is the king, and Krishna's like a prince. So, and then he takes his bath and gets dressed. At the same time, Radharani's friends waking her, and they bathe her and dress her. She gets her abhishek every morning from her friends. And then they all run over to Yashodamaya's house to cook for Krishna. Because it says that Durvasa Muni gave Radharani a benediction that whatever she cooks will be not only be as sweet as nectar, but will keep someone alive, like practically eternally be good for someone's health. So Yashodamaya has always arranged that Radharani will come and cook for Krishna. And there's some other pastimes where Radharani is prohibited by her family, by Jatila, but we're not going to tell the pastime now. So she prepares the morning meal for Krishna. Krishna takes his morning meal. Sometimes he takes laddus, laglus, different things like that. And sometimes she makes this thing called the Manohara laddu, which is like irresistible. It steals the mind, Manohara. It steals the mind. And then after that, sometimes Krishna makes believe that he doesn't like it. He just makes a face and says, ugh. And then gives it to one of his friends just to agitate and aggravate Radharani. And then the next time of the day is 8:20. And then Krishna takes a nap after breakfast. It's a pretty good time of it. He needed a nap. He was awake all night almost. The third time of the day is 8:24 to 10:48. And the coward boys come to the house to get Krishna. And they go with the cows to graze and in the forest, and they're playing a lot of games in the forest. And as they go into the forest, the residents of Vrindavan, they just watch them march into the forest, and they're feeling like great intense separation and sadness. They're crying. They just become stunned. Next time of the day, we're up to the fourth time of the day, 10:48 to 3:36 p.m. The p.m. times mirror the a.m. times. In other words, they're the exact same times, except they're a.m. and p.m. You understand? So Krishna plays his flute to attract the gopis. He wanders in the forest with his friends. He meets the gopis who are there in the forest making jewelry. And he makes jewelry for them too. He actually makes some jewelry for the gopis. He has water sports with the coward boys and the gopis. And then the forest picnic. And then he goes with Radharani and they play dice. And that's till 3:36. 3:36 p.m. to 6 p.m., Krishna rejoins the boys, goes back to Braja, and he reciprocates. It's described in the Govinda Lilamrita with the plants. He actually mentions to Balaram, and a little bit in the Krishna book is there, how all the trees and plants are bowing down to Balaram, and how they're great devotees, and he actually rubs the plants and takes the devotion from the plants and puts his lotus feet on the plants. So at 6 o'clock, he's back home, 6 o'clock p.m. to 8:24. Krishna gets a massage and bath again. Rohini, Balaram's mother, serves the meal and Krishna milks the cows. And then he gets ready to go to sleep. And at 8:24 to 10:48 p.m., they clean Krishna's bedroom. Let's say Krishna invites even the parrots and his friends in his own bedroom, which is really interesting. Yashoda brings him kheer. That's why when we do deity worship, we offer the deities kheer before they take rest. And everyone sleeps, but then as soon as everyone's asleep, Krishna wakes up and runs out. He just waits. He looks, you know, just cracks open his door, and he's making sure that everybody's sleeping. All right? Is it safe? Is this... Was the coast clear? You say that?
Yeah.
Is the coast clear? So, and then he runs out. And then of course, we know the next time is 10:48 to 3:36, which completes the day. So at that point, Krishna plays his flute in the forest. And that's the call to the gopis that it's time to come and join him. And the flute is irresistible. I mean, the sound of the flute is completely irresistible. And the gopis are very, very angry with the flute because it has more association with Krishna than they do. And they're continually trying to steal the flute. One time, Radharani stole the flute, but unfortunately, Jatila saw the flute or caught the flute on her and took it from her. And then Vrindadevi was all worried about how to get the flute back. And so then she sent, she and Purnamasi, of course, Brinda's in charge of the parrots. So Vrindadevi sent for her monkey associates to go into the house of Jatila, who had the flute, and they just started wrecking the house, throwing everything around. Jatila ran into her house. You know, the gopi said, there's a monkey in your house destroying everything. She didn't know what to do. She started looking for something to throw at the monkey. Finally, she threw the flute at the monkey. And the monkey grabbed the flute, made a face, ran out with the flute, and the flute was given back to Krishna. So it's nice, isn't it? And then, see, when you become Krishna conscious, you can actually all the time appreciate these pastimes internally. Then, that the gopis join Krishna. And there's that whole pastime in the Krishna book about how Krishna says, you know, go back home. And they say, no, we're staying here. And then finally, Krishna and the gopis, it's described, they get intoxicated. They drink honey wine. Honey wine. And Krishna somehow or other loses his Kastuba gem. And they all go looking for it in the forest together. These are some pastimes. It's unlimited variety. I mean, it's not that I'm describing everything that happens. And each gopi goes to her own bower, and Radha and Krishna go to sleep on a flower bed. And that ends the eightfold pastimes. Now, the interesting thing, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur too, that there's no memory as we know it in the spiritual world. You know, like a memory means like we'll remember, oh, yesterday I woke up and I did this, did that. But every day is ever fresh. There's no need of that mundane memory in the spiritual world. I mean, of course, you remember Krishna is the object of, you know, love and everything like that. But you don't really remember all the details of what you did the previous day, because sometimes you're doing the same thing, but it's the bhava that you're experiencing, the emotional ecstasies you're experiencing. So even though the pastimes may appear repetitive, although there's unlimited variety, still, even if there's some repetition, it's not, you know, you don't get bored. Because there's no mundane time factor, and there's no mundane memory there, okay? So that's the Eightfold Pastimes. So now we'll go on to the Shikshashtikas. Just so you have an idea, actually there's much more detail in the Govinda Lilamrita. Hare Krishna. Much more detail in the Govinda Lilamrita about the Eightfold Pastimes. So now we'll go on to talk about the Shikshashtika, just so you can relate each verse of Shikshashtika with one of those Eightfold Pastimes. And also, yeah, another point I wanted to make is with the stages of advancement in devotional service. This is another aspect of understanding the chanting and the Shikshashtika. There's various stages in devotional service, beginning with, Lord Chaitanya gave them, Ado Shraddha. In the beginning, there's faith in the Vedic literatures or faith in the devotees. And then when you have that faith, the second stage is Sadhu Sangha. You begin to associate with the devotees. And then after that, who knows what comes after that? We're going to test you. Bhajana Kriya, what comes after that? Anartha Nivritti. What comes after that? Nishta, what comes after that? Ruchi, what comes after that? Asakti, right. What comes after Asakti? Bhava and Prema. Okay, so you got those stages in devotional service. So relating again with the eight verses of the Shikshashtika, the eight times of the day, and the eight parts of the Maha Mantra, may get a little complicated. All right, so the first verse of the Shikshashtika, I mean, I could send you notes about this by email later. First verse of the Shikshashtika deals with the first verse, deals with the Ado Shraddha, the initial faith. Second verse in the Shikshashtika deals with Sadhu Sangota, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartha Nivritti. Three things like that. Third verse in the Shikshashtika deals with Nishta. Let me get my notes out. I don't want to skip through anything. Fourth verse in the Shikshashtika deals with Ruchi. Fifth verse deals with Asakti. That means complete attachment to Krishna. And sixth verse deals with Bhava. Seventh verse deals with Prema, Vipralamba Prema. And eighth verse deals with Samboga Prema. That means meeting. Vipralamba means separation. Samboga means meeting. Okay? And there's this chart, but I have a computerized version of it that you're all welcome to have, that gives the different verses, the different parts of the Maha Mantra and everything like that. Okay? Any questions before we go on to the Shikshashtika? That's all introduction. What? Email. I don't have a printer here. Okay. So now we're going to go on to the Shikshashtika. The first verse, everybody knows the first? Let's chant it together. Okay. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadvagni nirapanam shreya kairava chandrakita vitaranam vijavadu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnam ritaspadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. And the translation is, you won't actually remember this translation, it's different than the one you know. Let there be victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. And so, of course, I'm not going to do a full analysis of this verse. But basically, what this verse does, this verse refers to Ado Shraddha. Remember, initial faith, when one's first approaching Krishna, that's actually what's called Sambandha Jnana. Sambandha Jnana, there's three stages, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means to understand the basic truths. Abhideya means to connect yourself by practice and ultimately ecstatic, you know, practice like Raghunuga Bhakti, to act in terms of that knowledge. And then the third one is Prayojana, to go back to God and to be a pure devotee of the Lord, okay? So this first verse is Sambandha Jnana. Or it deals with Ado Shraddha, initial faith. It deals with the first line of the Maha Mantra. And it deals with the first time of the day, the awakening, Krishna awakening. Pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, I know I'm throwing out a lot of information, but anyway, I like it. So now this gets interesting. So this first verse gives us seven different benedictions that you get from chanting. This is really wonderful. The first one we're familiar with. It cleanses the mirror of the heart. Now, why is our heart dirty? Prabhupada describes this as through many lifetimes in this material world, we've accumulated this dirt. The dirt is by material association through the modes of nature. That's the first benediction. Imagine, seven benedictions you get from the holy name. That's pretty attractive, isn't it? Everybody wants benedictions? So, number two, extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence, you know, the miseries. That the miseries from other living entities, miseries from the material nature, miseries from your own body and mind. Pretty good, isn't it? The third one is, it creates your good fortune. Now, I'm not talking about money. It says the moonlight, the direct translation is, the moonlight opens the white lotus. You know, the white lotuses, they bloom at night. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, is described like the moonlight, very cooling, soothing, that opens the white lotus. It's a very poetic statement of your good fortune. So all good fortune begins. The next one is Vidyavadu Jivanam. The holy name is the life of transcendental knowledge. And actually the word Vadu means wife. Did you know that? I don't know what it means in Hindi. Yeah, something similar. So it means that you get transcendental knowledge, which is the Lord's own wife. That's interesting, isn't it? Krishna's wife is transcendental knowledge. You know, Saraswati. Yeah. So you get the association of Saraswati. So we get transcendental knowledge. Another, the next one is Anandam Buddhivardhanam, increases the ocean of bliss. You know, so you get happiness, relief from material distress, all the things, basically all the things that are mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Everybody remember what Prabhupada talked about? The six things you get from pure devotional service? Anyone remember? No. No one remembers. Nobody studied Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What? I think there's six. The immediate relief from all distress. Six things, yeah. Immediate relief from all distress. What is the second one? Beginning of all auspiciousness. Transcendental happiness. What? Short-term. No, this is long-term memory. Oh, that's long-term memory. Short-term is what day-to-day. Devotees deride the conception even of liberation. It's rarely achieved. And what's the final one? It's rarely achieved. The final one is it's the only means to attract Krishna. Those are the six qualities, and they're all mentioned in the first verse of the Shikshastika. So I'm just making cross-references from different books. Try to understand. I mean, the MP3 will be available. You can listen to later. And then Pratipadam Purnamrita Svadhanam gives you nectar at each step. And finally, the last one, 7, Sarvatma Snapanam. Snapanam means like a bath. Atma Snapanam means it gives the soul a bath in the coolness of pure devotional service, or in the coolness of the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is pretty cool. So in other words, that's Sambandha Jnana, and when you hear these benedictions, it actually increases your Shraddha or faith. That's the first verse. Everybody understands that? Then we'll go on to the second verse. So in other words, we should be, when we hear this, when I hear this, I actually get very enthusiastic to chant. Let me see if there's anything here, because I knew I had some. This is the same thing I just talked about. There's many quotes in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, which we don't have time to read right now. Okay. So the next verse, let's all chant that together. Nam namakari bahuda nijasarva shaktish tatrapita nimatas marane nakala etadrashi tapa kripa bhagavan mama pi dudaivami hadrashami hajani nanuda. And the translation, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entities, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching them your holy names, I am so unfortunate, and here's where it really differs from the translation that we're accustomed to. I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So this verse deals with sadhu sangota, bhajana kriya, and anartha nivritti. Now the main anartha that we're interested in here is the anartha of offenses. Anarthas come from different directions. Anarthas come from four different directions. Does anyone know the four different directions anarthas come from? No. Anarthas come from sinful activities, pious activities, and come from the performance of devotional service that you get attached to the byproducts of. Like if I get attached to becoming a guru, that's an anartha. If I think I'm a guru, that's an anartha. And the fourth one is anarthas that come from offenses. So specifically, this one deals with offenses to the holy name. That's why we don't have an attachment. And of course, we know about the 10 offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about how there's two types of holy names, primary and secondary. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? Primary name is Krishna Govinda, secondary is Paramatma, you know, Lord, you know, Vishwanath, something like that. These are secondary names. So the actual point is that the benedictions that Lord Chaitanya has mentioned here only come from the primary names. Although from the secondary names are so potent, and here's a quote, this is really interesting. Let's see if I have that here. Oh yeah. Whoops. The secondary names are so interesting, it says that, listen to this quote that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. If the amount of time a Dvija Brahmana spends in the study and recitation of the Vedic mantras would be utilized even in just chanting the secondary names, that Brahmana would incur more benefit. Of this there is no doubt. So all the, you know, ritualistic Brahmanas chanting different suktas and things like that, and spending so much time memorizing, but it's more benefit even in chanting the secondary names, what to speak of the primary names. Okay? So we're not going to talk about all the offenses on chanting. I'm just going to talk about the primary offense on chanting from which all the offenses come. Does anyone know what that offense is? What? Inattentive chanting. And how many types of inattentive chanting are there, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Does anyone know? How many?
Three.
You got it. How did you know that? You read it. Three types of inattentive chanting. One is, and I see it most often in ISKCON, what? What? What am I doing? Sleeping. That's the first type. Second type is... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What? Thinking of other things, looking at other things. Planning out your day like that. Thinking about how you're hungry.
Driving.
Hare Krishna. First gear. Oh, no. You drive with your left hand. I'm sorry. Actually, yeah. Actually, I guess in the countries like New Zealand and Australia and India, it's better to chant while you drive because you can chant with your right hand and shift with your left hand. But I'm accustomed to shifting with my right hand. No, so that's the second type. Thinking of something else, that's an offense. And the third type is not being forceful in your chanting. In other words, not putting your attention in. Or, like we say in English, spacing out. You understand? You're not sleeping, you're not thinking of something else, you're just like zapped out. You know, you're just like in the never-never regions of hypnoidal trance. So that's the third type of inattentive chanting. So if you chant avoiding that, you won't commit any other offense because you won't be able to. If you're not sleeping, not thinking of anything else, and not spacing out, you're not going to be able, at least while you're chanting. And then worry about the other times later on, but at least while you're chanting, don't be committing those offenses. Duradaiva means offenses. Okay? So if one can avoid those offenses, then one gets a taste. And that's sarud sangota bhajana kriya and anartha nivritti. Okay, so let's go to the next verse. You ready? Everybody ready for the next verse? Okay. Trinadapi, Sunichena, Tadarapi, Kishnana, Amandina, Manadena, Kirtinaya, Siddhahari. Actually, some of the translations, it's actually should be Turar Iva Shihishnana. And some of the places where it's in the books is actually listed wrong, it gets Turarapi. Yeah, that's an editing, Sanskrit editing mistake. But the devotees, half of the devotees in ISKCON say Turarapi, but it's actually Turar Iva Shihishnana. Turar Iva Shihishnana. Okay, so that's the third one. We're going to go through quickly, so don't fall asleep. So what this verse illustrates is actually the quality of nishta, being fixed in devotional service. In order to be fixed, you have to be humble. So there's four qualities. Four qualities of humility that Bhaktivinoda Thakur lists. One is just meekness and humility. Second one is compassion for others. Next one is a heart free of false prestige. And the last one is respectful to everyone. Now I'm going to show you, you can read something from here about that. Here. So here's the thing I mentioned about guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, a devotee never thinks I am someone's guru. Pretty interesting, isn't it? One who regards himself to be the guru of any Vaishnava rings humility's death knell. That means his humility is finished as soon as he thinks he's the guru of someone. that doesn't mean that my disciples should say, hey, Jai, we're free. But no, we think it's our service. It's our service to act as guru in this lifetime. But it's not an eternal designation of the soul. That's the difference. It's an upadhi that's used in Krishna's service. The plain truth is that he who does not heed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions in this Shikshastika is doomed to pursue material gain with the sole intention of appeasing the senses at the cost of his real spiritual identity. Even if he is a spiritual master, he will simply hanker for recognition in that position. The holy name can never be chanted by such an offender. Heavy stuff, isn't it? Okay. So that's the third verse, and that's nishta. And after nishta comes what?
Anatta.
No. Aruchi. We already went through anatta nivritti. Okay, so now we'll go into the next verse of the Shikshashtaka, which is, as everybody knows, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Ba, Jagadisha, Kamaye, Mama Janmani, Janmanishvare, Bhavatad Bhakti, Ohoi, Tuki, Twaye. And I'll read this verse. This verse has several different translations. Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service unto you. Now, it's very interesting. I just want to quote. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that the word sundarim, like we have here in the verse, Najanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadisha, Kamaye. The word sundarim can be understood in two different ways, depending on how you divide the words in Sanskrit. Sundarim can mean very beautiful women, but it can also mean sundarim kavitam, which means beautiful verses or the flowery verses of the Vedas. Which is really interesting. A beautiful poetry or mundane literature. And janam not only means disciples of a guru or followers, but also can mean attachment to wife, son, servants, and all the paraphernalia of household life. Interesting. And also, sundarim kavitam can mean attachment to the four pavargas. The four stages of material life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, under the jurisdiction of the Vedic literatures. So, in other words, to have ruchi or a taste for the spiritual practices of chanting, one has to give up a taste for these other things. Because as long as you have a taste for one, you can't have a taste, a pure taste for another. Of course, you can get some temporary, let's say, attachment or ecstasies. These are called, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, burnt up or dried up ecstasies. But these are not like on the spiritual platform. They're just coming from association with the pure devotee. They're coming from when you go to a Harinam and there's an intense chanting of the holy names, or a special ecstatic Bhagavatam class. That's what it comes from. But it's not steady or it's not stable. Okay? Next verse, Sloka 5, which deals after Ruchi. Does anyone know what comes after Ruchi? Ashakti. That means complete attachment to Krishna. The complete attachment to Krishna. And the verse is as follows. We can chant together. Ayananda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam buddho kripa tava padapankataya stutya juli sadrasam vachintaya. And the translation given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also by Prabhupada, O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, but because of my own fruit of acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience. Now please, please, be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle at the dust of your lotus feet. So at this stage, because we're dealing with a Shakti, it's not that the devotee is talking about the horrible material world in terms of the threefold miseries. That's the way we think of the world. But he's talking about the material world in terms of the anarthas that take him away from Krishna. For a pure devotee or someone at this stage of devotional service, he's thinking anything that deviates his mind from Krishna is horrible. He's not thinking like a pain in the leg is horrible or his wife yelling at him is horrible. In fact, it may be a benediction. But so he's thinking that anything, you know, that anything that my mind dwells on other than Krishna is just horrible. Lust, anger, kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, borya, boya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. These things are the horrible things. So you know you're at that stage when you think those things are horrible. Okay? Let's see if I have any comments on that one. All right. As I said, we're going quickly. We could do a whole week on each verse of the Shikshashika. Next verse. Nayanam galu rashru daraya varanam gadgara rudya gira pulaka nishitam vapu kada tava nama grahane bhavishyati. My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs on my body stand erect in the transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? So, of course, this particular one is bhava. And you find the symptoms, actually, I was analyzing this, that the symptoms or the different types of bhava are listed here. Does anyone know the different types of bhava? What's a vibhava? No one knows. It's important for devotees to learn the nomenclature. A vibhava means that which excites you. It's the beginning of the bhava. There's two divisions of vibhava, alambana and udipana, and you don't have to remember that. But that means Krishna directly and things related with Krishna. Let's say I see a peacock feather and I fall down in ecstasy. That's udipana. That means something related with Krishna. It's not directly Krishna, something related with Krishna. Or I'm here at Govardhan, like that. Not looking at the hill, but just here at Govardhan, you know, in this location. It's Krishna's holy land. That's an udipana. But if I see Krishna standing there in the middle of the fountain, the lotus fountain, playing his flute, that's a lambana. So these are things that excite me. That's one type of bhava. The other type of bhavas are, this is very interesting, after that is anubhava, that which follows the exciting factor. And these are things like drooling at the mouth, rolling on the ground, yawning, not because you're tired. I wish you would finish. These are things that follow your being excited. And these are all voluntary symptoms of ecstasy. I mean, you can control them. Then there's the constitutional ecstasy. There's the sattvika bhavas, the ashta sattvika bhavas. There's eight bhavas there. And that's paralysis, perspiration, horripilation, that means the hair standing on end. Pallor, that means your skin gets all of a sudden very white, like you're scared. The voice choked up, gadgada, rudya, gira, gadgada, like that. Trembling, weeping, and swooning, that means fainting. So these are basically the sattvika bhavas and the anubhavas are the ones that are listed in this particular verse of the Shikshashika, isn't it? When will I come to that point? Isn't it? Nayanam galudashraya varanam. When will I come to the point where tears come to my eyes like torrents of rain? You understand? Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his famous song, Kabhi Habi Bolo De Se Dinamar, he mentions the same things. When will this day be mine? But he goes into greater depth. He also goes into compassion and other aspects of devotional service. Okay. And then after that, there's Vyabhichari Bhavas. Vyabhichari Bhavas are the things you can't control. They just like overcome you. You know, I think there's 26 of them, if I remember correctly. You just start, and then you can't control it. Has anyone experienced that? No. No. But you may experience the burnt up ecstasy or dried up ecstasy when you're in an especially ecstatic kirtan or had especially nice mahaprasadam or something like that. But these are for later on, because, you know, this is someone on the stage of Baba. Although these different stages we're talking about are not mutually exclusive. In other words, throughout this whole progression, you're going through anartha nivritti, because anartha is not absolutely gone until you hit prema. They're gone, but not absolutely gone. And there's a whole analysis of anarthas, of different types of anarthas, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in the Bhajan Mahasya. So, and then finally there's Stai Bhava, which is what your constitutional rasa is, or taste is. Whether you're a coward boy, whether you're a gopi, whether you're mother or father of Krishna, whether you're a servant of Krishna in the spiritual world. So all these bhavas combine. In the next verse of the Shikshashtaka, we'll go to the next verse of the Shikshashtaka. Does everyone remember this one? Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravashayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. And so this verse indicates that one has actually realized their rasa with Krishna and come to the stage of vipralamba prema, because all the bhavas have mixed together to actually bring one to the stage of the stai bhava, which is what is your constitutional position. And in that constitutional position, you begin to experience the intense separation from Krishna, because you haven't seen Krishna yet. It's just like the whole world is vacant. And this interesting statement here, actually I didn't read the translation, sorry. My dear Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world as void. So it's interesting that in the translation we're accustomed to, it says a moment is like 12 years or more. But it's really not like that. It's yugayitam. It's like a yuga. I mean, not, in other words, like an unlimited amount of time. That's the actual translation that Prabhupada gives in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when one realizes that mellow of devotional service, or his mellow or her mellow of devotional service, then prema goes through different stages. The first one is called pranaya. That means when one loves Krishna with respect. The next one is called sneha, where the heart melts and one experiences this raga, this deep raga. Next one is mana. Mana is sometimes translated as anger, but in this context, it means that you hide your real emotions because they're just so intense, or they're part of your relationship with Krishna. Like when Radharani gets angry with Krishna, she's hiding her real emotion of love. Her anger is, it's called mana, because it's hiding the real emotion of love. That's why it's called mana, not because mana directly means anger. Everyone understands that? Like you're going to run into, I think we're going to go to a place called Mana Sarovara, which is a lake of anger of Radharani. I think we're going to be visiting that. It's not here at Govardhan, but later on. But the mana really means that she's hiding her real deep feelings for Krishna with anger. And then the next to the final one is anuraga, which means further attachment. Then there's bhava, that means further ecstasy. And then mahabhava, which is great ecstasy. So those who are actually associates, Radharani and her associates, they experience this mahabhava. So this is being described in the seventh verse of the Shikshashtaka. And then finally, the eighth verse of the Shikshashtaka. We'll chant that one together. Let me go into the next page here. Oh, wait, let me just... Should I read this part? You're an idiot. No, I already talked about that. No. I already talked about that from memory. Okay, so the eighth verse. Let's recite it together. Aslishava padaratam panashtuma madarshanam maraktam kurotuva yatatata bhavadatu lampato matprananatas tu sevana paraha. Let Krishna tightly embrace this servant who has fallen at his lotus feet. Let him trample me or break my heart by not being visible to me. He is a debauchee. Everyone understands what a debauchee is? No. That's right. A debauchee means someone who just like runs without any consideration from one woman to another. He's not to remain chaste to his wife. He's just like, he's out of the bars one night. Not that Krishna goes to the bars, but he's out of the bars, and then next night he's out, you know, God knows where, Krishna knows where. Just like Krishna, you know, he may go to Chandravali, and Chandravali's servant is sitting there waiting, and Radharani goes by her, and she says, "What are you doing here?" And Padma is Chandravali's servant, and Padma says to Radharani, "I'm just waiting for Krishna because he has an arrangement with my friend." And so, anyway, so that's a debauchee. He's a debauchee after all, and can do whatever he likes, but he's still no more than the worshipful Lord of my heart. So, this, of course, is the pinnacle of pure devotional service. It's called Sambhoga Prem. When one comes to that platform, whatever Krishna wants to do, whether he wants to come in front of me, make me wait for millions of years to see him, whatever he wants, I'm just dedicated to him completely. When one comes to that platform, then one actually sees Krishna. When one is ready to accept whatever Krishna does, that's called Sambhoga Prem. And that is the highest platform of devotional service that is mentioned here in the 8th verse of the Shikshashtaka. Of course, it's not that we should wait until we come to a higher platform before we read the other verses of the Shikshashtaka. Is that her? All right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that this Shikshashtaka, let's see if I can get to this portion of the book. The end. The Shikshashtaka should be read and understood every day. Let me just go. There's a very interesting portion. This translation that I have here is actually commented on not only by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I just want to end with this. Let's see, there was some statement. If I can't find it, I remember more or less what it says. No, I can't find it right now. But basically, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur state that we should study the Shikshashtaka, remember it every day, and especially as we're chanting the holy names of the Lord, remember the verses, all the verses, but especially those ones that are applicable to us at our stage of devotional service. Especially if we think of that first verse, because most of us are struggling with Shraddha. Confirmed. But because most of us are struggling with Shraddha, let me just turn it off or something. Oh, it's in my pocket. Nothing like the Indian mobiles. That's an advertisement for some Bollywood song. The Bollywood movie. Because most people are struggling with Shraddha, we could remember those benedictions at the beginning of the discussion we had, the 7 benedictions. And remember, at least, let's just go through that once more, and then we'll end the class. But at least, let's say, study the translation, the word by word translations for these verses. Because when you study the word by word translations for the verses, for example, in the first verse, let me go back to that. Here we go. Like Chaita of the heart, Darpana of the mirror, Marjanam cleansing, Baba material existence, Maha the Vagni, the blazing forest fire, Nirvapanam, extinguishing, Shreya of good fortune, Kairava, the white lotus, Chandrika, the moonshine, Vitaranam, spreading, Vidya, of all education, Vadu, wife, Jivanam, the life, Ananda, bliss, Ambudi, the ocean, Vardhanam, increasing, Pratipadam, at every step, Purnamrita, of the full nectar, Ashvadanam, giving taste, Sarva, for everyone, Atmasnapanam, bathing of the self, Param, transcendental, Vijayate, let there be victory, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, for the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So when especially you study this word-by-word translation, remembering the benedictions in the first verse, that will actually inspire you to further dive into the chanting of the Lord's holy names and to avoid the main offense, which will help you avoid the other offenses on chanting. The main offense on chanting is the inattentive chanting. Okay? So that's a short class on Shikshashtaka. So if you can be absorbed in Krishna's holy names, all perfection will be there. And especially while you hear in the holy Dham, that's the main thing. To get association with great devotees. I remember one time Srila Prabhupada was on pilgrimage in the Braj area, and they went to this temple called Seshayi Vishnu, which we will be going to. But that particular night, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his spiritual master, was staying back giving a little darshan. And practically everyone went out to see Seshayi Vishnu except for Prabhupada and maybe two other people. And Prabhupada stayed back to hear his spiritual master, and his spiritual master marked him at that point, saying, "I've marked, he likes to hear." So the most important processes in devotional service are hearing. Hearing and chanting, and hearing and chanting from pure and advanced devotees. We should never forget that. It's not that we're going to really become that advanced by seeing things. We become advanced by hearing. Everybody understands? Okay. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
What's the translation? Who is Yeah.
Translation?
Yeah. What's his name?
Prabhupada actually gave the translation of the Shikshash, the same exact translation. Oh, in the books?
Yeah.
In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book?
It's from which book about that?
His Sanmodana, which is his commentary on the Shikshashtaka.
Because I would like to buy some books here.
You could probably get them in some bookstore in Vrindavan. Although I have all those books, anybody wants it, I have all those books on a computer format. And this is, what I'm reading here is, you know, this is computer format books. This is an electronic book.
How many can you buy?
As many as I want. See it? And the battery lasts, I better turn it off.